Good afternoon, everyone. So as Garth mentioned, today I'll be telling you a little bit about HAC, Hierarchical Acknowledgements for Efficient Wireless Medium Utilization. So to start, let's talk a little bit about a typical scenario for which you might use your Wi-Fi network at home. If you're using Wi-Fi on your machine, you're probably using it to download something from an upstream server. And most typically, you would perform this download using TCP. Now, since TCP is a bidirectional protocol, your machine is going to be sending TCP acknowledgments back upstream to the server. Now, since this is running over Wi-Fi, basically, you have to have an exchange of link layer acknowledgments between your machine, the client, and the access point, going both ways to ensure reliability. Now, let's suppose that your access point, so you're downloading a file from a server, and your access point basically sends you the packets of size 1,500 bytes. So if the access point is transmitting at a rate of 15 megabits per second, this data on the air will consume about 800 microseconds. Now, your client, your machine will respond with a link layer ACK, which is an extra overhead. But in addition to the ACKs, the link layer ACK, you also have extra medium acquisition overheads in the form of diffs and SIFs and the backoff that's required as a wait time to ensure that the medium is free when you're trying to transmit the packet. And finally, you have to, the access point needs to send a preamble before transmitting the data in order to synchronize the signal and be able to decode it correctly. And this also adds overhead to the transmission of this data packet. So if we look at a rate of 15 megabits per second like we've been looking at, this pretty much comes to about 80% utilization when you're transmitting this data packet. So as soon as we start increasing the data rate, so let's say we increase it up to 60 megabits per second. The overhead remains constant, but the time that the data spends on the air actually shrinks, and now the utilization has gone down to 51%. And so forth, we keep increasing the data rate, so at a rate of 150 megabits per second, utilization has gone down to 29%. And finally, at a rate of 600 megabits per second, which is the fastest rate that 802.11n currently sends at, your utilization has gone down to an abysmal 9%. So this might seem a bit alarming, but fortunately, the people who designed 802.11 were smart people, and they've introduced this concept of aggregation. So instead of sending one data frame per medium acquisition, you aggregate a whole bunch of data frames and send them using one medium acquisition, so up to maybe 64 kilobytes worth of data. And when you acknowledge them, you use a block ACK as an acknowledgement from the client. So using this mechanism, aggregation, we've actually gone, the utilization has actually gone up to 80% again. All right. Now, TCP is a bidirectional protocol. In fact, typically, you would need two medium acquisitions to actually perform a TCP transaction. The first medium acquisition happens at the access point when you send the TCP data aggregate, which the client responds to with a block ACK. And then you have a second medium acquisition that happens at the client, which sends the TCP ACKs as an aggregate for which the AP responds to with a block ACK. So, given that we have two medium acquisitions, now, at a rate of 600 megabits per second, our utilization has gone down to 61%. Now, the question you might be asking is, do we really need to acquire the medium to send feedback, to send these TCP acknowledgments? Well, for one thing, TCP ACKs are cumulative. They can recover from losses, and therefore, we might be able to get away with, we will be able to get away with not sending the block ACK for the TCP acknowledgments. But let's take this one step further and actually encapsulate the TCP ACKs within the link layer ACKs. That, in essence, lies at the heart of HAC, Hierarchical Acknowledgements. What we want to do is minimize medium acquisitions by taking the TCP ACKs and encapsulating them within the link layer ACKs. All right, so when we started to design HAC as a protocol, we set ourselves a set of goals that we wanted to comply with. First of all, we wanted to coexist with, we wanted nodes that are running TCP over HAC to coexist with other nodes that are running stock, TCP running over stock 802.11 protocols. So basically, we wanted to keep in line with the with the deadlines and the timings that are running on other nodes with stock 802.11. Secondly, we wanted to simplify the changes that we made to hardware and make the NICs not have to know anything about TCP. And I'll talk about that in the following slides. Third, we are actually not modifying TCP whatsoever. We have no control over the server itself, which is, you know, sending these TCP packets. So actually, all of our changes are made in the MAC layer, and no changes are done to TCP. Finally, since Wi-Fi is basically a medium which is unreliable, you can get losses. You can get losses of these block ACKs that are containing your TCP ACKs. And we need to be able to recover from these losses. And I will talk about that in future slides. So we talked about coexistence. So according to the 802.11 spec, block ACKs must meet a hard deadline. They must be sent within a time period called SIFS, which is about 16 microseconds. But the problem is that the TCP ACKs corresponding to this TCP data aggregate don't arrive in time. They arrive from the network stack after the deadline for which we need to send the block ACK. So we can't really wait any longer. We can't delay this block ACK because other senders might hear that the network is idle and might assume, you know, might think that it's okay for them to send and acquire the network. But the key is to remember that TCP ACKs don't have a hard deadline. They can afford to wait. In fact, if we send this TCP data aggregate containing TCP packets 1 and 2, when the TCP ACKs arrive for those packets, we can append them to the next link layer ACK for TCP data 3 and 4. So what we did is we actually delayed those ACKs to be encapsulated in the next available block ACK going back to the AP. Now let's talk about how we actually represent these encapsulated TCP ACKs. So this is a typical TCP ACK header. You can see that it has a bunch of fields, and it's about 20 bytes. Now let me just draw your attention to the fields that are highlighted over here, the ACK number, window size, and checksum. Now if you're receiving consecutive ACKs, most of the information in this header is redundant. In fact, the only thing that changes across consecutive ACKs are the ACK number, which increases by N, the window size, which increases by K, and the checksum, which is different across consecutive ACKs. So if the endpoints actually cache the state at the compression and decompression points, we can actually reduce the size of the data we send the second time into just sending just N and K, which are the differences to the ACK number and window size. So this mechanism right here is actually something called robust header compression that HACK uses to effectively shrink TCP ACKs from TCP ACKs containing the TCP and IP headers down to 5 bytes. All right, so let's talk about when we actually apply HACK as a mechanism. Suppose that we are trying to send 4 packets at the AP, and these packets are sitting in the AP's transmit queue, like we see over here. And suppose we manage to send TCP data packets 1 and 2 in the first aggregate. Now, the TCP ACKs corresponding to those data packets will arrive from the network stack. And now the question is, how long do we hold on to these TCP ACKs before we manage to transmit them? Now, we would like to actually wait for the next data packet to arrive from the AP so that we can piggyback those TCP ACKs on those link layer ACKs. But sometimes there's no data arriving from the AP. Maybe because the sender has done sending packets or because of congestion on the network. So the most straightforward answer is probably to use a timer to basically say, you know, we're going to wait this long, and then once the timer expires, we're just going to send normal TCP ACKs back upstream because we don't want to cause timeouts. But unfortunately, there is no good timer value to pick estimate the RTT of the network in this case. So instead, I want to draw your attention to the transmit queue at the access point. The AP knows when it sends TCP data packets 1 and 2 that it has more data to send. It can explicitly notify the client that there is more data in its queue and that client should latch the state and hold on to the ACKs until it receives the data packets 3 and 4. And once it does that, the client can actually append TCP ACKs 1 and 2 to the block ACK going back. All right. So in our goals, we mentioned that we were trying to make this, the modifications to the NIC as simple as possible, and we don't want the NIC to have any TCP knowledge. So let's take a look at how we actually accomplish this. So here we have the stacks for both the AP and the client, and suppose the client wants to send a bunch of TCP ACKs. So the TCP ACKs at the driver get compressed if there's the more data flag is set into an opaque blob that is transmitted to the NIC. And the NIC knows nothing about TCP. All it does is it takes the blob and appends a block ACK, and then the client actually transmits this augmented block ACK over the air. Now the AP, once receiving this augmented block ACK, knows enough, the NIC of the AP knows enough to actually strip away the block ACK and transmit this blob back to the driver, which decompresses it and moves the TCP ACKs up into the network stack. So even though we actually don't have any TCP smarts in the NIC, the driver actually is doing all the work and should have some knowledge about TCP in order to do the compression and encapsulation. All right. So what if we lose these block ACKs that have these extra TCP ACKs encapsulated within them? So we mentioned earlier, so as we see over here, we mentioned earlier that TCP can tolerate the loss of acknowledgments. But unfortunately, RRHC needs to remain in sync. The endpoints cannot exit sync, or else we'll get decode failures. So we have to basically design hack to be robust to losses. And the details of how we do this are described in the paper. I'm not going to go into them here. All right. So we've described, I've described basically hack as a protocol in order to, that we would use to minimize medium acquisitions. So in order to actually evaluate hack in terms of whether it performs well and shows us the throughput gains that we expect, we use two different platforms for evaluation. The first one is a hardware platform in the form of Microsoft Software Radio, SORA. SORA actually runs 802.11a, which does not deploy or use aggregation as a mechanism. We also evaluated hack using the NS3 simulator, which uses 802.11n and uses the aggregation mechanism to send data packets. So we ran several experiments with different link qualities and different transmission rates, but today I'm going to talk to you about two of them. The first experiment is a throughput experiment. And for this experiment, we had on both the SORA and the NS3 platforms a download of a large file, which was transmitted over a very a link with a very high quality. And we had up to 10 clients performing this download. And we transmitted, the transmit rate was the highest possible rate for each protocol. So 54 megabits per second for 802.11a and 150 megabits per second for 802.11n. And we measured for both these experiments the steady state aggregate good put, which means the good put after the clients have exited slow start. And here are the results. So for SORA, we basically ran an experiment with one client or two clients download. And we can see TCP over hack in blue actually produces a 29 to 32% improvement in good put. We ran the same experiment, but with more clients over 802.11n with aggregation enabled. And we also see that TCP running over hack in blue actually outperforms TCP running over regular Wi-Fi by 15 to 22%. Now, another interesting feature that I'll draw your attention to is the fact that as we increase the number of clients, you can see that the TCP running over 802.11n, the throughput actually decreases. This is because as we increase the number of clients, the number of collisions between the TCP ACKs going upstream and the data going downstream increases. So we get more of a win as we increase the number of clients. So the next experiment we ran was an experiment to measure how hack performs when you have a lossy environment. In this experiment, we basically fixed the transmission rate at the AP We basically had the same download scenario we had before. We fixed the transmission rate, and we reduced the link quality by we went from a low link quality with low SNR to a high link quality and measured the aggregate good put. And for this experiment, we measured the aggregate good put over the entire range of operation, including slow start. So for 802.11n running on NS3, if we fix the transmit rate to 15 megabits per second, we get this curve over here. And we repeat this experiment for all the possible rates that you can use for 802.11n running with one antenna. And we get these curves over here of average good put versus SNR. We then compute the envelope of these curves, which pretty much emulates what an omniscient bitrate adaptation algorithm would do in terms of picking the rates. And this is the envelope we get for TCP running over HAC. We ran the same experiment with TCP running over regular 802.11n, get the red curve. So as you can see, because the yellow curve always sits on top of the red curve, TCP running over HAC always outperforms TCP running over 802.11n for even in lossy environments. All right. So TCP HAC is a protocol that aims to reduce medium acquisitions by taking TCP acknowledgments and encapsulating them within Wi-Fi link layer acts. And as we've seen in our evaluation, it increases the good put by 29 to 32% running on systems where no aggregation is active, and by 11 to 20% when aggregation is turned on. And it's practical and realizable on modern day NICs. And I'd like to point you to the URL at the bottom if you'd like to take a look how we implemented HAC in Sora and for NS3. You can go ahead and download the code. And I'd like to open the floor for questions.
Very nice talk. One question that I have is, are there any metrics that are actually getting worse?
Metrics that get worse.
Yes, so you showed throughput improvements. Is there anything that the changes that you made has a negative impact on?
So one thing that this hides is the fact that it's a bit bursty now with the TCP acts getting sent. Let me step back a second and talk about basically the fact that aggregation in general makes the TCP acts going back quite bursty, because now you don't have the ACK clock being timed one ACK at a time, but you get an aggregate worth of TCP acts going back.
Okay.
At the same time, now when you're delaying these TCP acts to the next link layer ACK, you're increasing the RTT slightly, and that's one of the metrics that might get worse.
Okay, thank you.
So part of me religiously is worried about modularity being breaking when you tunnel through the ACK protocol of the lower level protocol. What would you think would happen if they decided to change the implementation of the lower level protocol and when they delivered the ACKs back at the lower level protocol, and that affects the delivery of your embedded higher level ACKs?
So you're saying that suppose there's a future protocol that decides not to send link layer ACKs back upstream?
In a different way. Maybe they decide to try and send half as many.
I see. So there's always a danger with basically breaking the layering mechanism that the actual protocol will change underneath you. This has basically been designed just as an optimization technique for the current existing standards of 802.11 and basically TCP running on top of it.
Mm. Yeah. So it might break.
It might break, yes. Yeah.
Hi. 802.11 ACKs are always sent at 1 megabit per second, right?
That's not true. So in 802.11n, they're sent at it's basically the specification says they need to be sent at the basic rates, which is 6, 12, and 24 megabits per second.
I mean, it's still lower than what you could
lower
send
than, yes,
in
yeah.
the other direction.
Yes.
So I was wondering if there is a performance trade-off with basically piggybacking.
Yes. So one of the things that we talk about in the paper is that we need to fit these compressed TCP acknowledgments within a DIFS, which is the time that the clients or anyone who's trying to send on the medium needs to wait and listen before they actually decide to transmit. Now, if you have more TCP ACKs or a larger buffer size than that diffs, you might have to actually split them across two different link layer ACKs going back. So yeah, if you have a large number of acknowledgments to send, it might perform a bit worse.
You might be sending at a lower transmission rate than
yes.
what
or you can. Another thing you can do is actually allow collisions. So the reason why you basically so another thing you can do is allow collisions if you have hidden terminals and basically send them all at mm-hmm. once. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.